I am Manny McNish, and you are listening to 91.1 WKCS Radio. I am joined by Shirley and Sion, and today it is time for an interview with Fulton alum, lawyer Jed McKeon. And Sion, you want to get us started off with some questions?
Yes, I do. One question I do have is, like, why do you wear suits? Is it like a professional thing, or like, it's just dress code, or...
Good question. I don't know how that got it started, but now you see that differentiates the lawyers from the non-lawyers. So when you go into a courthouse, I say nowadays, if you're a client and you wear a suit, you're probably on trial for murder, okay? Because other than that, most people don't dress up. Now, I tell them to wear business casual or Sunday dress, but typically you can differentiate the lawyers from the non-lawyers by the suits. And if a lawyer tried to walk in without a suit, I would imagine they would get a talking to from the judge.
Great. Good to know.
Okay, so I have a question. This is a personal question I have for you. What was law school like?
Terrible. It wasn't very fun. So law school is 3 years, right? You usually go there after college at some point, so you have to have a college degree. Then you go to law school for 3 years, and... it's intensive. You only have one test per semester, and that's your entire grade for the whole class is one test. And so if you do bad on that test, you're in big trouble. And that's the only grade you get. There's no do-overs, there's no midterms, nothing like that. It is one test for the entire grade for your whole class. And so it's usually like a bunch of essay questions or something like that. And they do it all on laptops now. So you're typing away, praying that you haven't missed anything. And so after you go to law school for 3 years, you don't get to be a lawyer right away. Then you have to take another test that's even harder called a bar exam. Okay. And so say after 3 years, you graduate in May. And then the bar exam is typically offered at the end of July. And you are expected to go to this seminar every single day for the entire summer just to prep for this one test that takes 2 days. And if you fail that test, even though you graduated from law school, you don't get to be a lawyer. And so it's real stressful. So, and, you know, I know some people who had to take it like 4 or 5 times before they passed it. And it's only offered twice a year. And you got to pay like now $2,000 just to take the test. And so after you finish law school, then you study for the bar exam, and hopefully if you pass it, then you get to be a lawyer. So, you know, it can be great. It's like being in college to some degree, but also it can be stressful because a lot of it is you don't get to be a lawyer if you don't do a good job.
Yeah, and I guess to kind of piggyback off that, how exactly would you like study for something like that, since I assume that you would have to know a bunch about like the field and about like everything that you've learned in law school, and it being over such a long period of time, how exactly do you prepare for that?
It's not easy. So what they have is they have a seminar that you go to every morning all summer long to prepare just for the bar exam after law school, okay? And so you go to the seminar every single morning, and of course you have to pay for it.
And then every afternoon you're thinking, oh gosh, if I don't pass this test, I've wasted the last 3 years of my life. So you spend every hour either studying or thinking about studying. And so, you know, hopefully that seminar and your study prepared you well enough that you can pass the test. And they don't tell you what grade you get on the test. All they tell you is whether you pass or you fail. Okay. And so if you failed, they'll tell you how close you were to passing. But if you pass, you don't know if you passed it by 1 point or by a whole bunch, which candidly, it doesn't matter because you passed it. But it's just one of those things that you just have to work really hard for and hope you did enough.
Oh, man. That seems really difficult. Another question I have is, do you pick the cases you take or like... they assign them to you. Like, how does that really work? Like,
good question. Because if you're not a lawyer, you don't know how it works. Okay. So I have my own law firm, so I get to pick what cases I take. Okay. But if I was poor, I would take any case that would pay me money because I need to support my family and eat. Right. So, but once you get enough cases, you can kind of be particular about what cases I get. Now I mostly get hired on family law cases, divorce and custody, criminal cases where somebody gets arrested, you know, personal injury cases where somebody's in a car wreck and, you know, various things. I do a few different things. But for example, people who are prosecutors, like on TV, the people trying to send people to jail, they have one client, the state of Tennessee. Okay, that's the only thing they do is they try to put people in jail. Okay, I'm not allowed, because I don't work for the state of Tennessee, to try to put anyone in jail. Only they get to do that. So it kind of depends on what kind of position you have and what kind of cases you take.
So for people who want to become an attorney, what advice would you give them?
I would say this. I would say, come hang out with me for a day and see what you think. Okay. Mm-hmm. And any one of you guys, anybody in this room could come hang out with me for a day. You'd probably get a free lunch out of the deal if you wanted to come hang out with me for a day. Okay. You would see all kinds of things. You would see me have phone consultations with people who are trying to figure out what to do with their lives and how to figure out how to handle their legal case. You might go to court and see me start yelling and screaming at another attorney. You might see me, you know, work something out. Every day is a little bit different. One good thing about it is as a lawyer, there's a lot of things that are similar, but it's just enough different that it makes it interesting. You're not like, you know, nothing against people who work in retail, but it can be hard to fold shirts every single day. There's not a lot changing in that. But a lawyer is a lot different every single day.
Right. Being that law school is hard and it's pretty much like difficult, well, for some people,
you could
impossible.
Do it. You could do it. You just have to decide that you want to do it.
Yeah, because some people, you know, a lot of people can't handle that much pressure, so they'll probably give up. But I want to ask, what was your biggest like piece of motivation to keep you going, even though it was pretty difficult? Like,
this sounds crazy, but I didn't want to disappoint my parents.
That's reasonable. Yeah.
What do you enjoy and find most difficult about your job?
So being a lawyer can kind of be depressing. People are calling you when their life has fallen apart. Okay, people don't call a lawyer when their job is, life is good, right? They call it when they just got arrested, when they need a divorce, when they just got in a car wreck, maybe when the state just took custody of their kids. Those are all bad things. I say a lawyer is like an auto mechanic. You don't even really want to know their name. You just want them to end the case and get on with your life. And so, you know, it's not very fun sometimes to tell stories about, you know, what I did that day. But also, like, lawyers are okay people. I have many friends who are lawyers, and I hang out with them and like talking to them and enjoy cutting up with them, and sometimes you can get some funny stories out of it.
Okay.
I want to ask you another question. Being there's a lot going on in the world right now, do you think flock cameras are illegal?
I don't know. okay? All I know is flock cameras take pictures of cars and, you know, people in those cars, presumably, and their license plates numbers. And they didn't ask anybody's permission to do that. And so that makes me nervous. I'm not in charge, so I don't really get a vote on whether they get to be held up or not. And, you know, people say, oh, well, what's the big deal? If you're not doing anything illegal, why would you be worried about this? And I get that. But also, it's like, at what point does it stop? Okay. Are you uncomfortable if they can access the Alexa inside your house? Or is that okay, too? Because that would make me uncomfortable. And I'm not, as far as I know, I'm not even doing anything illegal. But it would make me uncomfortable.
I definitely would. I feel like it's an invasion of privacy. You know, like, being able to tap into people's homes and smart electronics, like,
it would make me nervous.
It definitely would. Even though I'm not getting into anything illegal or bad, but it definitely make me feel some kind of way.
What's a case or experience that really stood out to you during your whole career?
So I forget lots of stories that I have. Okay. But some of them, you know, stick out to you as memorable or funny, okay? And some of them I'm not able to tell because they're probably inappropriate. But, you know, some of them stick out to you more than others. For example, one time I had a divorce case, and it was a younger couple. They didn't have any kids, and there wasn't much to fight about. And my guy had, you know, done some things he shouldn't have, but he was taking his lumps, okay? He was giving his wife in the divorce everything. She got the house. She got all the furniture. She got the cars. If she wanted it, he was like, just make her happy. Just give her all of it. But the one thing he wanted that he drew his line in the sand was, he said, I've got to have, we used to go to Disney World a lot, and I have to have the Star Wars popcorn bucket we got from Disney World. And I thought he was joking. I literally thought he was joking. And I said, he said, it's like really valuable. And I said, like how valuable? And he said, like $60. And I said, brother, we will try to get you your $60 popcorn bucket. But if not, I will find a way to cut my bill so you can get $60 and go buy you another popcorn bucket. And by gosh, she got everything, but she agreed to give him his popcorn bucket. And so it's silly things like that. They paid me, a lawyer in a suit and the tie, to go and argue, to go over a popcorn bucket, which is ridiculous, okay? But these are the kind of things that stick out to you. One time, I did a divorce between the single largest owners of monkeys in North America. It's in Loudoun County, Lenoir City, just down the road. They had 150 monkeys, okay?
Gosh.
And the jokes are everywhere. Monkey business, monkeying around, all kinds of jokes, okay? And these people had so much money that they decided they were going to sell and breed monkeys. And the wife loved the baby monkeys. She would sleep with the baby monkeys in her bed, like five at a time, and they would wear diapers like babies. That's not my cup of tea, but that story will stick out in your head because there's not many stories like that that stick out to you.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. To have all the monkeys, like, I think, like, what do you even do with all them? Like,
I think they sold one ever of all those monkeys.
They just have them, like, just raising them. Like, that's why I think, like, depending on how much monkeys you sell or how much you're selling them for, like, you know, like, you're going to lose more money than, because you got to buy food. You got to keep up with the maintenance. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
They were losing money like crazy, buddy. They had lots of money they made from another business, and they were blowing it all on these monkey business. Again, the jokes are everywhere, okay? But those kind of stories are so unique that they stick out in your mind. Silly things like that, okay? You know, one time I had a client, I was representing my criminal charge, and they wanted him to get drug tested, okay? And I walk out in the hallway and during court, and I'm like, hey, they want you to take a drug test. Do you think you can pass one? And he said, well, how much time do I get to study for it? And I was like, we're in trouble here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're not passing that. I'm not going to lie. Especially if he said that. That would have had me like I would have just looked at him. I wouldn't know what to do when somebody said that. Like, I don't think he knew what a drug test was.
I think he knew what he was, and he knew he was in big trouble. And so I went. I don't even remember what I did, but you know, it's silly things like that that just you have to laugh about it because there's nothing else to do. But think about, man, this is silly.
Yeah. Another question I have is, do you still defend clients even though they're found guilty?
Yes, and here's why. Because almost never do you, you don't tell lies, okay? Like if they're guilty, it is just damage control, okay? For example, if you're speeding, there's probably not an argument about whether you're speeding or not, okay? Yeah. It's probably, we're going to approach it as, hey, look, he's never got a speeding ticket before. He's a good kid. He's got a job. He needs, you know, for example, if you need your CDL license to drive a truck, we're trying to keep his CDL. He's about to move.
Damage control. Yeah, like soften the blow type thing.
Exactly right.
Okay.
And so, like, there's no real circumstance where I'm just up there outright telling lies to try to get somebody off a crime.
Because you were already found guilty. It's really nothing much you can do after that.
Well, it's hard to, I mean, even if they're not found, it's trying to lessen the damage to what ends up happening to them, for sure.
Any questions you got to ask?
As what he said about defending people that are guilty, if you ever had a case about somebody abducting a kid or stuff like that, would you find them difficult to defend or not?
For sure, and I don't think I've ever had one of those cases that I can think of. You know, it's tough stuff. You know, there's two sides to every story. I can't think of a case where I've had those, but you know, at some point there will be decisions made where you know there's a line where you're like, I'm just not comfortable representing this person. That's happened to me before. It doesn't happen much. But, you know, those cases do happen. I told somebody this morning to get out of my office because I didn't want to represent them. Mm-hmm. It happens.
Yeah, and is that all the questions that everybody's got? Or?
I got one more question.
One more?
I got one more question.
Right. We'll give you this last one, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. So, how do people deal with being sued? Like, how does that even work?
Okay, that's a loaded question, buddy. All right, so let's use the normal example. You hit me with my car, with your car, excuse me, and I have a damaged car. My back's hurt. I've gone to the hospital, okay? It's clearly your fault, okay?
Right.
And I'm going to sue you. You will probably never pay a dollar to me because you have car insurance, right?
Right.
And your car insurance is designed to protect you if that happens, if you screw up. So I'm not looking to get a dollar from you. You take that, you get a lawsuit, which is like 10 pieces of paper, and you take it to State Farm or whoever and say, hey, give me a lawyer. And then you may never talk to them again. You may be done and they handle it. You live your life, okay? And so when you get sued, it's almost never as bad as people think it is, okay? There is, you know, that is what, you know, you see all the commercials for insurance. What is that even for? Well, that's for if you hit somebody with your car and they sue you, okay? So, you know, it's going to be okay. Hey, if you get sued, call me or call some other lawyer and we'll figure it out, okay?
Yeah.
All right, well, we thank you. We're joined by Jed McKeon, Fulton alum, and throughout the years he's come and done interviews, and we really appreciate him coming in and doing stuff with WKCS. So, we'd just like to thank you here at WKCS, and we'd like to thank Shirley and Sion. And just a reminder that I am Manny McNish, and you are listening to 91.1 WKCS Radio.
Falcon Radio, 91.1 WKCS Knoxville.
Every day the sun comes up around her, she can make the bird.